He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Keit. And we are off to a pretty good start here in the market so far, with the Dow up 177 points. That puts it at 34,535. The Dow is right at its 200-day moving average. Yesterday it failed to go above it, and that's where it is today, fighting with its 200-day fiercely. The S&P 500 is up 26. The S&P did recently go above, just 2 days ago, above its 200-day moving average. It's at 44.82. The NASDAQ well below its 200-day moving average, but back around 14,000 after, I think it went below 13,000 there for a while. We're up 68 points on the NASDAQ. That's around 0.5%. The Russell 2000's up just a couple of points. Oil has backed off a little bit today, but it's still at a very lofty $113.62. That's for West Texas Intermediate crude. Gold is having a good day. Gold is up $16 per ounce at 1953 as the NATO heads meet in Brussels to determine what the next course of action will be in the Ukraine-Russia war. Silver is up 68 cents. The 10-year 2.37. I think 2.38 is the recent high. We're headed back towards that. And you've got Bitcoin right now up $1,007. Pretty good action in Bitcoin recently. Bitcoin's at $43,032. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Keit. Barry, we have a little lift today in the market. I guess maybe oil prices coming down a little bit might be helping here somewhat.
Right, Dave. It's kind of a bit ironic since I think I set a personal best yesterday at Costco, $85 to fill up, and that's 87 regular unleaded gas. But, you know, it keeps me motivated to find some gems out there for the, yeah, the market, right?
So what was it per gallon then at Costco?
I want to say it was close to $3.85. I think it was 22.
Well, that's not
I think
bad.
It's 22. It's about 22 gallons, and like I said, of course, it's at Costco, which is usually, you know, about 30 cents cheaper than your surrounding areas normal times.
At least you're not buying it at the San Francisco Costco, which I'm sure is a lot than ours. Well, yesterday the market took a spill. You had the Dow down 440 points, and I think a lot of that was the big sudden gap higher in oil prices yesterday. We got back to almost $115 per barrel yesterday on oil. And we also had, you know, some pretty good action, I guess. You've had some moving. You've had some, the S&P went above its 200-day recently. But the NASDAQ was pretty weak yesterday and picking up a little bit here. I noted that in the Seeking Alpha, today it said S&P 500 ETFs close above their 200-day moving average. You know, a lot of people watch that 200-day. That's considered to be a long-term moving average. And it is a little bit bullish when we get back above those moving averages. Now, yesterday, despite the big sell-off in the Dow and the S&P, we had a pretty good day yesterday. Because the energy stocks defied the broader market as supply worries. Supply worries. Yeah, well, that Russian oil is off the market. Maybe it's going to China. Maybe it's going to other countries. But the rest of the world is shunning it with no real replacement yet. And I suppose maybe out of this meeting that they're having today in Brussels and tomorrow, that they may decide to do a complete embargo on Russian oil. But, of course, Europe in particular will have to come up with the replacement. They get 40% of their natural gas from Russia through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. And the Nord Stream 2 pipeline will be it will not happen, doesn't look like, anytime soon. So that we'll have to watch and see what comes from that. And supposedly Russia had a big storm that damaged one of their major pipelines, and that's taking a bunch of oil off the markets. But the oil stocks yesterday, they had a good day. So did steel. Copper, iron ore, pretty
nickel.
Much.
It's the, yeah, nickel hit the stop trigger yesterday. I think it was up 15%. I think for the second day in a row. So they're still working through the issues there with nickel.
Yep, and that's a necessary ingredient in electric vehicle batteries. But it's still fossil fuel stocks. Hess was up 4.5%. Fang, which is Diamondback Energy, Marathon, Schlumberger, Baker Hughes, Halliburton, EOG, Rig, all of those stocks having a very good day yesterday. We also have a big draining of the stockpiles. U.S. crude stockpiles unexpectedly fell by 2.5 million barrels last week, according to the Energy Information Administration, which recently put out a kind of a crisis alert saying, you know, we're in trouble here. And they're the ones that want us all to stay home and not drive on Sundays.
Oh, yeah,
not,
no driving on, no drive Sunday. That's right.
Yeah. And on and on and on. That's their answer. They're the Energy Information Administration. They're supposed to have a better answer than that. There's
right.
Seems to be plenty of energy in the world. We just have to tap into it in a responsible way. They say any oil will continue to go higher and any weakness should be bought. That's what Teich Capital Advisors told Market Watch. We're entering into the driving season, you know, spring break is coming around here. A lot of people are in spring break right now. Of course, the summer not that far off. I think you're going to see a real pinch, and I think you'll continue to see rising prices in both crude oil and in gas. Now, there is an ETF, UGA, Barry, that you can get even with. That is the unleaded gas ETF, UGA. So as you see the dial spinning on the gas gas pump, you can also see UNG going up higher and higher, and UGA going up higher and higher, yeah. And natural gas. UNG is natural gas.
And that's not the University of Georgia Bulldogs for our
nope.
For our Atlanta listeners.
Nope, it's what we're putting into our tank, man. Right. I'll tell you what, and the yield curve right now, you're down to it's about 23. I see 23 today, basis points between the 10-year and the 2-year. And I think the Fed is probably going to be pretty bullish or pretty hawkish here at the next two meetings. I think they'll probably do a half a point and a half a point as inflation just seems to be out of control from where I sit.
Yeah, we got a pretty hot jobless report, rates report. We can talk about on the in the second.
Very hot.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean that we got kind of a mix on the economy today. Durable goods orders, it dropped in February. That was kind of a surprise, but they're pretty choppy. But the jobless claims down to 187,000. It's been a long time since we've been under 200,000. So that's pretty hot. That means a tight labor market. That means higher wages. Higher wages translate into more inflation.
Right.
And there's one company that we'll talk about today that says, wow, we've never seen anything like it, the inflation we're seeing in our business. And we'll talk about who that company was a little bit later. But when we come back, you know, the focus today is on Brussels and the war and the impact it is having on the world and the refugees. We'll give you a little update when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite of Gunderson Capital Management. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm looking at the leadership in the market today, the biggest movers from a percentage basis, and it's kind of a mixed bag, really. I see some steel stocks in there. Cleveland Cliffs is up 7% today. Schnitzer Steel, which is also a steel stock, up 7.5%. The fertilizer stocks are having a pretty good day. Intrepid Potash up 5.6%. Mosaic up 5%. CF Industries up 3.9%. And then there's a limited partnership, which I avoid, UAN. It's up 5.3%. It's a limited partnership fertilizer stock. China's going south. That means that the Chinese inverse ETFs are going north. Yang, which is three times inverse China, is up 6% so far. The semiconductors are having an okay day with NVIDIA leading the charge. I would call NVIDIA the best chip stock out there. It's up 4.5% today. And then you got MP, which is rare earth. That's the Mountain Pass stock in Nevada, California. It's up 8.2% today. And the lithium stocks are having a pretty good day. Lithium America up 4.2%. Not seeing much, not many oil stocks are there in that top tier of movers today, but it is definitely tilted towards commodities once again today, mostly fertilizer, steel, and maybe to some extent a little bit of uranium and rare earth in there. Okay, well, the Russian stock market is reopened. We need to search our Russian right. stock database for the best Russian stocks to own right now, Gazprom or many others. There's some Russian steel stocks. I don't think I would touch the Russian. And I see that Russia is now demanding payments for their oil in rubles. You got to have some Russian rubles if you want to buy Russian oil right now. And they're doing that to help prop up their currency. It is helping. The Russian currency is up a little bit. Let's just look at the Russia ETF, which is RSX.
Yeah, and you've tracked that one. Well, you've tracked that one for a long time, by the way.
Yeah, it's not trading yet. So I don't know. Maybe... maybe we're not allowing RSXJ is the other one, which is Russia small caps. But I guess in Russia, if you have an account with one of these foreign firms like Interactive Brokers or whatnot, I guess you can be buying Russian stocks here. The U.S. is to welcome 100,000 Ukrainian refugees, 100,000. I know we've got a few here in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
They were telling us at church last week that a church group has gotten together to sponsor a few Ukrainian refugees. And I know they're going to paint their house this weekend. I'll try to fit it into my calendar if I get that newsletter out in time. about 100,000 refugees. We're going to see, well, it says that Russia has lost as much as one-fifth of the combat troops it sent into Ukraine over the past month. Now, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get the truth out of there. Between 7,000 and 15,000 Russian soldiers have been killed, and up to 40,000 Russian troops have been wounded, taken prisoner, or are missing. Russia also may have lost 10% of its equipment, hindering its ability to maintain its pace of operations. And, of course, Zelensky continues to beg NATO, G7, EU for more help in every which way. And I don't know how true this is, but this is in the Seeking Alpha today. Ukraine war update, risk of a coup against Putin reportedly growing. Wouldn't that be something? Putin at risk of coup by security services. It would have to be an inside job, Barry, man. It would have to be somebody that's right there around him. A palace coup, I think they call that. I don't know if this is just propaganda being put out there, but the London newspaper and the London newspaper, The Times, is citing a whistleblower in the Russian intelligence agency. Chaos and discontent have engulfed the security services after the botched invasion of Ukraine, according to the paper. Okay, well, and I mean, sanctions.
Do you think there has to be some? Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some discourse, right? I mean, you know, it's certainly whether it's economic, whether it's militarily, right? I mean, it's not. It hasn't been a good thing for Russia or the people there. So
no, and you can't get a Starbucks anymore in Russia. You can't get McDonald's hamburger. Yeah. Hershey is pulling Kit Kat bars. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things like that all add up, and it's got to be quite an annoyance. And you got to look at Putin and say, what did you get us into here? Anyways, we'll see what comes from that. And Vladimir Putin's references to nuclear weapons at the beginning of the war, Jake Sullivan says it's still something we have to be worried about. And, of course, the chemical attacks, the biological attacks, the more he gets backed into a corner. And our energy secretary is now urging U.S. energy and electric companies to stay on hyper alert by sharing each other information because we're afraid of cyber attacks on our infrastructure. And, you know, they did. I read last night in Wired magazine that Russia took out a key satellite that Ukraine depended on for, their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it knocked out internet service to a lot of people throughout Europe. It's a satellite that was built in Carlsbad, California, where I lived for many, many years, by Viasat. Brent crude back over $120 per barrel. Margins are going up for the refiners. The refining stocks have done really well here recently. And now you have a storm-damaged pipeline in Russia that's only going to make supplies that much tighter. And Costco gas, I'm surprised it's not, it's over four, it seems like, most everywhere I look these days.
Yeah.
And our inventory is falling. In fact, those strategic oil reserves that we have, they're mm-hmm. collapsing. Those reserves are collapsing. A 6.7 million barrel draw on commercial oil and all oil products is not that big, but overall, there's been a big drawdown of our strategic oil reserves. That's not a good thing either. And one last one here. This is a new stock that I found this morning that I'm going to keep my eye on. Next Decade, NEXT, out of Texas. It's reached a binding agreement to supply liquefied natural gas, which is in high demand right now. You know, what is it? LNG is sold out for the next many
decade
years.
Almost, yeah.
Well, there's the Next Decade. That's the name of the stock. The symbol is Next, and they just got a big 20-year deal. And I'm looking at the chart of Next, NEXT. That's a beautiful little chart there on a microcap, half a billion-dollar company, LNG is what they sell and make. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we have seen the Dow get a little stronger. It's up 194. The NASDAQ has gotten a little weaker. It did go negative there for just a little bit. Now it's back up. It's up 34 points right now. A couple of really standout stocks that I wait until the final segment to list the stocks jumping off the page. As far as I'm concerned, we own two of them, so we've got a couple of big winners there today. We're having a pretty good day overall so far again, and the Dow was down 440. We had a decent day yesterday. We were up because of our holdings in the commodity stocks. I would say if you looked at our portfolios 2 years ago, we didn't own a commodity stock, and most of last year didn't own a commodity
stock. Yeah, unless we call a semiconductor a commodity.
It is a commodity. I started to buy them last February, a year ago this February, when interest rates started to go up. They started to really make some noise. And then all of a sudden, because of all the trouble, I think it was Omicron coming back and other things, interest rates, there was this big flight to safety in the bond market that killed that move in the commodity stocks last year. I mean, we were buying deer and the ag stocks and whatnot. And then interest rates, as soon as Omicron ran through the country and went away for the most part, interest rates started going back. Reality started to set back into the bond market. And interest rates started to rise once again, and those commodity stocks started to come back into vogue because they like rising interest rates. But then you add in the supply chain issue, which came along last year, I want to say, like mid-spring of last year, early last year, we started to hear of all these supply chain concerns and people reporting from the port of Los Angeles and the port of Savannah, et cetera, about the supply chain issues, being able to get enough workers. And then it just kind of all teamed up and ganged up at the same time. And then, of course, this war with Russia invading Ukraine has just made commodities all the much tighter. And you've had a global kind of moving away from fossil fuels and commodities a little bit too soon, not having a replacement and not really planning for unforeseen events. And that's just put the squeeze big time on almost every commodity you can possibly imagine. Now, before we went to break, we talked about liquid natural gas seems to really be coming back in vogue. Okay, so that's kind of a bridge between, dirty crude, I guess you could say, coming from the oil sands of Canada, which we seem to be turning our back on, and instead, the gas that is then liquefied and turned into liquid. Now, I remember when that was supposed to be the next big thing. We were seeing buses and other commercial vehicles running on liquid natural gas, but there's really not a infrastructure for it. I mean, you can't go into the gas station and fill up with the liquid natural gas. You got to find gas. Did they have liquid natural gas at Costco? Could you have filled up your car?
They do not.
No, but that seems to be the direction. And of course, there was a move to turn all of those trucks into liquid natural gas engines, and there was a hot stock back then that was building. They still are, but the market never really embraced liquid natural gas. And I remember many years ago, I knew some people that were pretty high up at San Diego Gas and Electric, and for whatever reason, they said the future was liquid natural gas. and they made a huge investment in that Cheniere Energy, which is really, that stock is sitting in the garden spot right now, LNG. Their problem is they can't produce it. It's all, they can't meet the demand for it. And so now others are rising up. I know this little Next Decade. There's another one, too. I'll try to think of it. I saw the CEO the other day that's down there in that same area that's starting to get some big orders. But they said, you know, we're just caught unprepared for the sudden demand, and we're scrambling to meet the demand. So, you know, we've kind of steered our energy investments towards natural gas stocks. Devon Energy would have to be one of the top producers of natural gas. There's another one, though, Chesapeake, which has a history, has quite a past.
Oh, yeah.
Chesapeake yeah. Energy, they seek a greater role in liquid natural gas, LNG, according to Reuters. And it's been showing up a lot in the top-ranked stocks, CHK, Chesapeake Energy, which is closing in. Believe it or not, I mean, this thing went bankrupt. And on a split-adjusted basis, this thing was $4,300 per share back in 2015. That's because they did a bunch of reverse splits. But now it's back to being a $10 billion company. You know, the credibility of the company has been restored. It's out of Oklahoma City. And CHK currently has a relative strength of 97 on a scale of 1 to 99. That's pretty hot. And it has a P.E. ratio of 3. So there's that combination, extreme combination of high relative strength and low P.E. ratio, which is, we've said, is the winning formula here, one of the winning formulas here. In 2022. So liquid natural gas, LNG, or natural gas producers, where they're allowing them to drill, has been a good area to be here in 2022. I'm also noticing that the bond market's getting more interesting. I'm even considering a few of these bond offerings. One stock that's been on my radar, but it's a smaller company, Owens & Minor, is a medical products company, OMI. It caught my eye today because of the yield. It's out of Mechanicsville, Virginia. Listen to how much they're having to pay now. 6 5/8 due in 2030. So that's a 7-8 year note. 6 5/8%. I haven't seen, you know, yields like this in quite some time. Go ahead.
No, that'll help. I mean, we've had a time trying to find some places to put some cash in our bond portfolios. So, you know, it's good to see some things, you know, getting a bit more attractive. You and I have, you know, laughed at some of these offerings we've seen over the last couple of years, just in terms of this, such a low yield. And it was like, I don't know how anyone's touching those.
Yeah, but there, a lot of those junk bonds were in the high fours. Okay, now we're getting them in the high sixes. So, and you know, I mean, there are some quality companies that I think will be around, you know, when it comes time to redeem the bond. So, anyways, it is getting more. We saw yesterday Lowe's had a 3 or 4 year bond at 3.5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's this one. I mean, this isn't a Lowe's. This is a $3-4 billion company. But 6 5/8 is a pretty good return. And then get back your principal, hopefully, at the end of the term. Okay, let's see. You know what else is doing well this year? This has been a good year for dividend stocks, and that plays into our other theme that we announced at the beginning of this year, short duration stocks. There are 10 dividend ETFs named today, and I'm sure there's a lot more, that are positive for the year, as the S&P 500 is down about 6%. And I can say the same thing for our dividend portfolios. They have done really well this year. I'm just going to look as of yesterday. We are down just about 0.5%. We might even be flat on our dividend and growth portfolio when the S&P is down 6%. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good alpha in an area that normally is tough to find alpha, but dividend paying stocks, which are considered to be shorter in duration. I mean, just compare that to any of these long-duration technology funds. You know who they are. They're down anywhere from 30 to 40%, and these short-duration dividend payers, many of these ETFs are positive for the year, while the Dow or the S&P is down 6%. All right, the stocks jumping off the page today. Look at them popping off and around there. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up about 50, Dow up about 170. Small caps really not participating today in the market move. And oil is down a little bit, about $1.50 to $2 from the 115 level that it hit yesterday. And definitely it's... Ollie's Bargain Outlet was the company that says we've never been impacted like this before by inflation. I thought I would mention that. And I think as the earnings season starts, the next Thursday will be the last day of this quarter. And they'll start reporting earnings. And I think you'll hear the word inflation come up a lot and supply chain. But Ollie's Bargain says unprecedented inflation headwinds. I'm sure the Fed is watching headlines like that, unprecedented inflation. All right, well, the four stocks today, the biggest mistake I've made, I've made plenty of mistakes this year in the market, you always do, but the day, you know, the night I heard about the invasion, I knew the market was going to really plunge the next day. So I got up early and I put in some limit buy orders, kind of a wish list. If the stock gets down to this, I want a big chunk of it. And one of the stocks that I did was NVIDIA. I only did a couple. I said, you know, I'm just going to buy the highest quality that I could possibly get if it comes down to this level. I put in the buy, I think, at $208 per share or something like that. And it was there right at the open for a little bit. And we got a handful of shares, Barry. I had in an order for, you know, I mean,
5% filled. I think what did it get? Something like 5% of the order was filled. Right?
Yeah, and then
wasn't it around 195? Was it around 195 ish or so?
Maybe it was. I think. Yeah, maybe it was. It was under 200.
Yeah,
or something like that. And I just, you know, missed it. No, I think it was 208 because that's I'm looking at the day of the invasion. It got down as low as 208. That was the bottom for the day, but the problem was it wasn't there very long. And I had in a limit order. I didn't have a good, what do you call that? Let's see, all or none. So I got a little bit, and then it never went back to 208. Then I had to decide how to allocate it. I gave everybody one share
right.
Until I ran out of shares. And now that damn thing is at 272, NVIDIA. That's a stock of the day for me. It's breaking out today. It's up 6.2. It's one of the stocks of the day. There's three others that are even more impressive. But NVIDIA on just huge volume today, 23 million shares. That seems to be the one that the millennials, the Gen Z, the boomers all run to when tech comes back into vogue. And so we own a little bit. I didn't even put it back in the newsletter because we didn't get enough to really make a representation in the newsletter. If I'd have just put that limit at about 210 or something like that, I probably would have got the whole thing filled. But you get greedy, and, you know, I had to act quickly because the market bounced back very quickly on that day. It was the day, I think, though, Russia invaded maybe on a Sunday night or something, and it was Monday morning. You had to be very quick there, and I did get up real early and everything, but I set that limit a little too low, and I did it on another stock. Maybe it was AMD. I don't think I got any of it. Okay, the other stock that's standing out to me today is one we own. That's the chart of the day, Cleveland Cliffs, CLF. One of the most boring stocks you're ever going to find. It is a producer of flat rolled steel and a supplier of iron ore pellets in North America. And I've just been watching the steel stocks. Of course, this is why Tesla and Li Auto and all of these car companies are raising their prices, because the input cost. And, you know, iron ore pellets are used to make steel. That's an input cost. Look at this thing. It has a relative strength of 97 and a PE of 5. We got to kind of pound our chest a little bit on that one. That one got written up for Seeking Alpha. I haven't looked at our rank in Seeking Alpha. Last week we were 196 out of 5,200. Yeah. I haven't looked at it this week at all, but that's certainly going to help, along with the fertilizer stock. CLF, a huge breakout today. It's traded almost as many shares as NVIDIA. Now, there's a sign of the times. When an iron ore pellet company trades almost as many shares as NVIDIA, a high-tech glamour girl, you know, it's Cleveland Cliffs is up 10.2% today. It's in our ultra-growth portfolio, which has done pretty well this year, considering what the NASDAQ and what the spec techs have done. Okay, the other one that jumps off the page for me is one we don't own. I kind of kick myself. But I don't know. It's that rare earth stock, MP Materials, which I've driven by many times when we lived in California. MP Materials is the Old Mountain Pass. Rare earth is a big deal. Kazakhstan is going to, you know, Russia, the Ural Mountains have a lot of rare earth. They ain't going to be sharing them with us, I can tell you that. And so that's pushing MPs up 9.5% today and a massive breakout. And there is one other one, but it's more of a green energy, Amresco, which we've owned in the past. That's a nice breakout, AMRC. These all have something to do with commodities in one way or another. All right, well, I'm putting the finishing touches on how the portfolios, where they're at right now. I take a snapshot on Thursday at this time every week, which enables me to work on other areas of the newsletter tomorrow. And you can take a look at how we're doing. I think we have some pretty good performance on a relative basis compared to the markets this year. And we still got a long ways to go as we're coming to the end of the first quarter of this year. You can get 2 weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. I don't know how your portfolios are doing or who's managing them, but you can get a second opinion from us. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.